Tensions escalate between Trump and Zelensky.
You've been there for 3 years. You should have ended it 3 years. You should have never started
it. The dramatic shift in U.S. policy toward Russia stokes European security fears.
If it's Ukraine today, it's Taiwan tomorrow. It could be any partner and ally.
Today's Wednesday, February 19th, and this is The Issue from VOA. Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London. Relations between Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and U.S. President Donald Trump deteriorated rapidly this week after Trump suggested Kyiv was to blame for Russia's invasion.
I think I have the power to end this war, and I think it's going very well. But today I heard, oh, well, we weren't invited. Well, you've been there for 3 years. You should have ended it 3 years. You should have never started it. You could have made a deal.
The flare-up started after Trump opened talks between top U.S. and Russian diplomats in Saudi Arabia. Ukraine and its European supporters expressed serious concerns over being excluded from the talks. In response, Trump called Zelensky a, quote, dictator without elections, suggesting Ukraine hold elections as part of a peace plan amid larger worries that the deal taking shape could be unfavorable to Kyiv. Zelensky accused Trump of succumbing to Russian disinformation and echoing Kremlin questions over his legitimacy.
When they want a seat at the table, you could say the people have to, wouldn't the people of Ukraine have to say, like, you know, it's been a long time since we've had an election. That's not a Russia thing. That's something coming from me and coming from many other countries also.
And despite rising tensions, Trump's U.S. envoy for Russia and Ukraine, General Keith Kellogg, arrived in Kyiv Wednesday for talks with Zelensky and other Ukrainian officials.
We understand the need for security guarantees. We've entered with Jared Kurdes the important sovereignty of this nation and the independence of this nation as well. And we're going to, part of our mission is to sit and listen and say, what are your concerns? Where are we at? We can go back to the United States, talk to President Trump.
Meanwhile, ahead of a second meeting of European leaders to discuss Ukraine and European security in Paris on Wednesday, Latvia President Edgars Rinkevics said peace talks are impossible without Kyiv and Europe.
Europa varētu nodrošināt tādu atbalstu Ukrainai.
French President Emmanuel Macron and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer will visit Washington next week amid all of the other meetings aimed at bringing an end to Russia's war in Ukraine. Could the widening rifts have major implications for efforts to end the conflict triggered by Russia's invasion 3 years ago? For some analysis on the latest developments and a shift in U.S. policy, VOA Russian service correspondent Rafael Sahakov spoke with Jonathan Katz, Senior Director for the Anti-Corruption Democracy and Security Project at the Brookings Institution.
What do you think about the current dialogue between the U.S. and Russia? First, a phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. Now, Rubio Lavrov meeting in Saudi Arabia. What kind of consequences do you think it might it have?
I think that there's growing concern about the early stages of the negotiation, the one that took place yesterday in Saudi Arabia, and then also the subsequent language and of President Trump, which seems to undermine the negotiations. For example, sort of setting the conditions and setting the negotiations and sort of outcomes even before there's an opportunity for Ukraine to be at the table, European partners to be at the table. And so I think in Washington, this means, well, what kind of deal are we talking about? Is this a deal over the head of the Ukrainians and European partners? Is it one that provides real security for the Ukrainian people, that doesn't blame Ukraine for a war that Russia started and for Russian atrocities, and sort of puts the onus on the Ukrainians? It seems an imbalanced start to the conversation, and it certainly didn't help that President Trump jumped out after those meetings and sort of fumbled what may have been a half-decent start to a conversation about how to bring an end to this conflict.
Yes, and also what stands out, President Trump, while dismissing Ukraine's concern about being left out of the talks in Saudi Arabia, he also said that Ukraine, you should have never started it, is a quote. So what could he mean by saying this? Is it like what Russia says once again?
It certainly sounds like Russia's talking points that the president is espousing. And so that's worrisome too. There's always concerns about how the relationship with Putin and Trump would impact policymaking, both internationally and domestically in the United States. So those concerns are certainly raised. But what it really does too is it sends a clear signal. I think Trump is signaling to the Ukrainians that he intends to abandon them. Unfortunately, I'm not laughing about this, but I think the president is saying the things that you might keep in the back of your mind out loud. And this is really worrisome. And many have warned or been concerned about his embrace of autocrats, non-democratic actors globally that have harmed both the United States and partners, including in Europe and Ukraine. So this is why today these concerns are being raised.
Another aspect is that Donald Trump mentioned that Ukraine should hold elections, and we have seen some reports with different sources that probably the plan will include ceasefire for now, elections in Ukraine, and only then the signing of a final agreement. What do you think about this option, and in general about possibility of presidential elections right now in Ukraine?
It's quite odd that President Trump is focused on elections in Ukraine, but not critical of Russia, which hasn't held a democratic election ever. So it's quite strange to hear him say that, or to pick on Zelensky's popularity, although Zelensky has better numbers than Trump does in the polls. So look, Ukrainians, I know, would love to have elections. They've been at war for the last 3 years with a Russian government and Mr. Putin that has been lobbing tens of thousands of missiles, killing people, displacing millions of Ukrainians. So when you have an unsafe situation, it's very difficult to carry out a war. I was an election observer in the last presidential election in Ukraine for NDI. I can tell you that Ukrainians know how to carry out a democratic election. I don't think this is about elections. I think this is, again, this is a talking point. Mr. Lavrov picked up on this today to say that Zelensky was illegitimate. Who's more illegitimate than Vladimir Putin and his regime that have never held democratic elections, that poisoned and killed their own people, imprisoned them, where millions have also fled, not because of war, but because of threats of their own government. And to have President Trump parroting what the Kremlin's talking points is really sort of an historic moment, sort of in U.S. national security for many of us who said this guy is not protecting the United States. And so I think we're really concerned about that today, just as we are about partners and allies who could be in harm's way by policymaking and negotiation that seems to really make zero sense for the interests of the United States.
We also about another aspect is, of course, about Ukraine joining NATO in future. And we know that Kyiv expected much more from Biden administration during both the summits in Vilnius and in Washington. But for now, from what you hear from President Trump and also in Russia, they say that Donald Trump became like the first Western leader who has publicly said that the real cause of the war was Ukraine's U.S. support of Ukraine's bid to join NATO. So do you think that now it will be really off the table for the upcoming future?
No, I don't. And I think that, you know, there will be a date and time beyond Trump where, you know, and if that's not going to happen in this administration, I think others will continue to focus on this. I think the bigger concern is a complete capitulation by Trump to Putin, handing over a sphere of influence that might include withdrawal of American support for military support in Eastern, Central and Eastern Europe, including in the Baltic countries, Poland and elsewhere. And I that the most disconcerting piece of this is that Trump, I don't think he really cares too much for sort of European security. That's not really something that he sort of understands, alliances, partnerships that benefit the United States. So the bigger concern is a wholesale sellout of Ukraine. I think NATO membership is certainly a piece of this, but it's right now it's not that important. What's most important right now is the continued support, U.S. support for Ukraine. Or, you know, what could happen if Trump decides to just basically say, hey, Mr. Putin, you can have it. And damn you, Europeans, we don't care. And we pull back. This is a U.S. retreat that's not only sort of European in nature, but global. So if it's Ukraine today, it's Taiwan tomorrow. It could be any partner and ally that Trump decides when he gets upset and wakes up in the morning and had a bad night's sleep to go out and attack that other partner. This is no way to engage in diplomacy. And again, I come back to this. This is not in U.S. national security interests. Opening the door, inviting Putin to Mar-a-Lago, just, you know, a little over 1 month into the administration, really. People have to seriously be waking up here, both in the U.S. and globally, about what this means.
And also, at the end, I wanted to ask you about the role of envoy Kellogg, Keith Kellogg, because he's both Trump's envoy for Ukraine and Russia. But he was left out of the table of negotiations in Saudi Arabia as well. So he was not presented there in Riyadh during the talks. But today he's visiting Ukraine and meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky as well. So what do you think about his role and now, how can, for example, the meetings be without him if he's the envoy for Ukraine and Russia, right?
I think it's certainly emblematic of sort of what's happening. I think Mr. Kellogg, I think, is probably well-intentioned in many ways in wanting to see an end to this conflict, safety and security for Ukrainians. But by not being in Saudi Arabia at the table, it sends a clear signal that he really is not connected to the brain trust that is carrying out the diplomacy and negotiations here. So that's certainly number one. Number two, even those that sat around the table yesterday, and if you watched the video of Waltz and Rubio, it's sort of at the corner, no American flag behind them, seemed like no actual real strategy to engage with the Russians. They're flying by the seat of their pants in these negotiations, and it makes it incredibly difficult when you have the president the next day come out and pull the rug out from underneath you again. What will Mr. Waltz and what will Mr. Rubio say when asked, hey, did Ukraine start this war? What will their response be? Hey, Zelensky needs to hold elections because he's at 4% in the polls, which is not true. Is that true or false? How do they answer the question that the president of the United States lies about what he's saying? Scapegoats, others, what Russia has done and committed, including stealing Ukrainian children, raping women, attacking civilian sites. Really? So I think that today that job is incredibly hard. My expectation there is that if there's any backbone to those leaders within the U.S. national security establishment, they're not going to last long in this Trump administration. It's 100% fealty to Trump. And whatever whim he has, that's a terrible way to make national foreign policy, national security decisions for the United States of America, the most powerful country in the world, is being sort of dictated to by a 78-year-old man who wakes up cranky about a response from Zelensky and then undercuts the negotiations right away. But that's only if he has any intention of a real negotiation with Russia. And I think he doesn't. He is going to do this over the head of the Ukrainians and others. That's just how he acts and wants to act.
That was Jonathan Katz, Senior Director for the Anti-Corruption Democracy and Security Project at the Brookings Institution, speaking with my colleague from VOA's Russian service, Rafael Sahakov. You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America. Thank you so much for joining us. You can check out our program wherever you get your podcasts, and for news 24 hours a day, check out our website at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you tomorrow.